want?
I could probably tell you. Ted Hendricks, managing director of The Transition.
Hey, Tim Naughton, sales.
Gary Mannheim, graphic design.
And what do you do, Cake Man?
I do it. The cake's just for today. I'm not a cake man. I deal directly with life's photo units to manage
negative.
Sorry,
I was really getting into this song. I stopped listening to you.
I was saying, you know who looks good in a beard? Dumbledore, not you.
Guy? What do you do?
I'm a negative asset manager.
Worth the wait.
Mind over matter.
Ted, Donnie. Feeling tough? Feeling good?
No, I'm gonna make some tough calls ahead.
You've been here before, yeah?
Yeah, this is it. Some pictures.
Hey.
Hey.
How was your weekend?
I had an awesome weekend.
In Arctic mountain water while my Latin lover recited verse to me.
He's slim.
I know. Actually, I waited for my refrigerator repairman who never came.
I'm so sorry. I'm gonna call you later.
Okay.
The ice, Jace. She moves like a woman. I'm Walter. Mitty.
Cheryl. Melhoff. Where have you been?
Testing the limits of the human spirit.
I'd like to climb your hair, test that out.
Perhaps I can contact you, possibly through my poetry falcon.
Poetry falcon. I like that.
Do you think if I hit him with a paperclip, would he move?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do it.
Oh, hello.
I actually threw a toner box at him once.
Yeah, did he move?
No, I missed it.
Great story. Ground control to Major Tom. Can you hear me, Major Tom? Oh. Wow.
Moving on,
yeah.
As they say. Conference room.
Oh, man. Perhaps I can contact you through my poetry falcon. Oh, gosh. Have you ever felt like Walter? Can you relate to that? And the reason why you're laughing and the reason why we like that scene is because somewhere in the story you've been him, right? You've been that person who wanted to be desired, who wanted to be chosen, who wanted to be worth pursuing. And all of us have experienced that, the opposite, right? Where we weren't chosen. We were passed over. We weren't wanted. When I was in junior high, I stood out behind the gym on the blacktop on number 16. I was assigned number 16. It was my number for some reason all throughout junior high. And so we would stand there waiting for Coach Dake to come out. And, me and... about another 15, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade junior high boys who all looked like elementary school boys, and, another 15 or so young women that looked like young women who were about 2 feet taller than the rest of us, the boys, and it was just awkward and weird, and sometimes we had to wait 5 to 10 minutes for Dake to come out, for Coach Dake to come out, and, he would... he would, you know, whatever he was doing, planning in there in his office, you know, we'd stand out there and it was horrible. Like that, this was the time that you, the war of put downs would happen. You know what I'm talking about? And it somehow mysteriously had to do with defending the integrity of one's mother. And I don't know exactly why it always went there, but it did. And so, you know, I would just, you know, try to not to look at anybody, try not to become somebody's target, you know, as the two or three, you know, anybody have that in their junior high? One of us. Okay. So you are probably mostly homeschoolers. Anyway, so that was my experience. And then what was, you know, sort of bittersweet when Coach Dake would come out, because thus would end the attack, but then would begin the weighing of your value, right? Because he would every day come out and pick captains, okay? And then the captains would stand up in front of, you know, and you're back here on the numbers, and the captains would stand on the wall, and then they would pick teams. And you know, you're like, will I get picked? Will I be chosen? And it just began this this experience, you know, where, you know, if you weren't picked early on, like Rod Williams was either team captain or he was picked first or second. You know, he was picked for one of the teams right away. But if you weren't picked, you know, for a while after Rod, you know, then your hope shifted, okay? As the picking went on and you became lower and lower in the order, it became your hope went from maybe today will be the day that they'll remember that I caught the ball last time and they'll pick me earlier and I'll have some value in a sense of being worth, you know, choosing. It shifts to, you know, comparative reinforcement, okay? Then you start to measure who was picked after you, and hopefully somebody was picked after you. Right? I mean, at least the kid who wore his cardigan sweater out on the gym floor, you know, was going to be picked after you. And so at least you weren't the least chosen of the bunch. And so day after day, that was my experience in junior high. It's incredible how powerfully our hearts long to be chosen, isn't it? You notice that? Can you relate to, I have a longing to be chosen. I have a longing to be wanted, to be thought of as someone that has something significant to offer, something that is valued. And when we're given the message, you aren't, not really, not you, like Walter, you know, you don't really have anything to offer that we want, and you wouldn't be chosen, it hits like a knife to our deep soul. And I wonder why. Why? And I think the answer is because being chosen and being wanted and being pursued is actually the center of the core of who you really are. You are, if nothing else, the chosen. You are the deepest part of your identity is. You are the pursued. You're the bride of Christ. Okay? And we see David, you know, a sculpture, and we just wow over this, right? Michelangelo creates this incredible work of art. But what you don't realize is when God looks at you, that's trash in comparison. You don't realize how chosen and pursued you really are. And so Scripture has to tell us about that. Ephesians chapter 1, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. How long have you been the chosen? How long have you been the pursued? Before a long time, right? But long before you ever came on the scene. Psalm 139 says you were knit together, woven together in your mother's womb by the Lord. You were... If Jesus were here right now, he would say, no, you don't understand. He would be like taking off your shoes and trying to wash your feet because you're royalty to him. you're the chosen. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy. And all holy means, that doesn't mean that you walk around with a robe and act pious. Holy just means you're like Jesus. Really kind of means cool. And blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined you. You have this destiny to your life. And that destiny is to be sons, daughters, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with what? Why did he do it? Why? Why did he choose you? Why did he choose you, James? Because it makes him happy. He gets pleasure from you, being loving you, choosing you. It's the deepest truth. I mean, this book could be renamed The Pursuit of Man. God's Pursuit of Man, right? It tells a story of beloved sons and daughters who God gave the entire earth to and said, rule it. You know, rule over the enemy, Satan, because he was present. Rule over all the animals, the fish, all of it, the creation. Rule it. You are my sons and daughters, kings and queens. And then we walked away, and the rest of the Bible is him chasing us. Right? Chasing you. So let's read that together, but let's change it from us to me, okay? For he chose me in him. Out loud. For he chose me in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined me to be adopted as his son, daughter, through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Truth is, you are unique. You are sought after by God. And that's the deep underlying truth in the universe, which is why your soul experience is not being chosen, being passed over at work, or not getting the interview, getting the job, as an affront to your very core. Be like somebody taking a can of spray paint to the David statue. It would just be an affront, right? And that's why you feel it so much. And the greatest news on the planet is your soul's telling you the truth. When you feel that, it's your soul's telling you, it's reminding you, I am chosen. I was meant to be chosen here. And I wasn't, and that's like against nature, right? So you're worthy enough for God to move heaven and earth, to give his own son, to win you back so that you could be his. You are so pursued. And it's interesting because King David and Job pondered this. They looked at, you know, they walked with God and they looked into scripture and they're like, these roads are all aiming the same direction. There's this love for us. There's this intense pursuit of us. Why? And they started asking it, what is man? David said, that you are mindful of him. And the word mindful there is that you think about him so much. What is man that you think about him so much? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. Job says, what is man that you make so much of him, that you give him so much attention? Why? Why is he so pursuing you so much? Why do you mean so much to him? Let me ask you this. How many of you walked in this morning feeling like you just meant the world to God? Look around. Okay, one hand. Yeah. Why is he after you so much? Why does he love you that much? Okay? Is this hitting a wall for you at all? Is this hard to let in? You're answering my question. Here's the answer. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world, Paul says. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. Why? That we might receive the full rights as sons, daughters. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit of one who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. What is full rights as sons mean? What are the full rights as sons, daughters? Okay, we get an inheritance. You get to be the object of his heart, the passion of his heart. You know? And what's crazy is you guys look, you probably, a lot of you sit there and you go, that's probably true of a bunch of people in the room, but it's not true of me. And the rest of us look at you and go, it's so true of you, but it's just not true of me. Right? So we're missing something. And we're actually missing, gang, the very core engine that gives you everything else. If you get this, you get the propeller. Okay? You don't get this, you sit still. You go nowhere. Okay? So I've not ever talked about anything more important than this right now. Okay? We were in slavery, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive full rights as sons. What does full rights mean to you? What are your full rights? Give me some rights that you get. Relationship with the Father. Full rights. Entering into his presence with confidence. Hebrews 9 and 10 tell us. What else? Huh? We get protection, right? Angelic protection. But something along that lines, what else? Huh? Provision. 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 I'm like, is that like a new contact lens company? You get a set of contacts. Very good. So provision, sorry. I'm getting old. I reject that. I just didn't hear you. Go ahead. Huh? We get armies. Authority. We get authority. We get an identity that is unshakable. It's not based on your performance. And let's go back. We get authority. Authority. Remember, we had authority over all the fish and sea, you know, all that, and then we sort of gave it away to the enemy, and now we get it back. Right? That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. You now have authority over the spiritual realm in him. Yeah, full right. I would tell you this. This, if you spend the next 10 years figuring out this, it will be worth your decade. That is ground zero. Okay? What are your full rights and you step into them, that's you will come to me 10 years from now and say, that was the best thing I ever did, is deciding to make that my zeroed in focus. It'll change everything. Okay? Now, you are the chosen. This is why Nelson Mandela was getting this, and so he wrote this. It's a famous quote. It's our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant and gorgeous and talented and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. You're playing small, does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so other people won't feel insecure around you. We're all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And then he says this, and as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do what? The same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I think this is what's going on with the Hawks. Honestly, I mean, if you've been watching the games, Marshawn Lynch has this. He somewhere along the line decided, I can go 5 more yards with 5 guys on my back. Somewhere along the line. Like, he had to decide, because when I used to watch NFL, I just kind of rekindling, of course, like everyone else with the Hawks, but some of you are diehards, but I'm fair weather. But years ago, when a guy got hit, you know, he went down. He got tackled, he went down. Not so with Marshawn Lynch. When he gets tackled, he carries you until there's 5 or 6 guys. And it's like his mentality went, I can get 5 more yards. I don't know what flip he switched, but he flipped or whatever, right? But have you noticed the other Seahawk players now think that way? It was like in the game, it's just like it seemed like whoever was getting tackled, I can get one more yard. I can get two more yards. And it just, it's this, he's shined, and now everybody else, the level has gone up, right? And that's that full rights as sons. You are the church. You are the sons and daughters of the living God. You are the unstoppable church. Okay? And we're starting up a series. That was all introduction. On the church, the bride of Christ. He loves his church and he loves you. And what is the church? What is the church? First and foremost, the church is, they are the chosen ones. Okay? They have an identity. They are chosen. And they know it. And they walk in it. That's the church. Okay? So we've kind of covered point one. What is the church? The chosen ones. Another way of putting that is we're the bride of Christ. A little bit different. It's a metaphor Scripture gives us, right? And here you have a bride. This is Princess Di. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. What is the metaphor being the bride of Christ? What does that bring to your mind? Like, give me some comments, huh? Cherished. We're cherished, like a bride is cherished. Okay? We're clean, pure, white, good. Beautiful to him. Yeah. And she has an eyes for another. It's about this intimate love relationship. It's what God's after with you. You know, he really does. And that can feel like a burden, right? It's like, I really got to love God more, right? Why don't I love him as much as I, you know? We're going to go there. Don't worry. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit to your husbands, because we're a picture of Christ in the church. A marriage between a man and a woman is a picture of Christ in the church. Submission is a word that we don't like to talk about in church these days. But yeah, there's this submission to him. And really, wives, when you're submitting to your husbands, you're really more playing out your devotion to the Lord than you are making a proclamation about your husband being superior to you or you're inferior to him. You're talking about, you're demonstrating a commitment and a picture. You're playing out a picture of how we're meant to live with the Lord, how we're meant to connect with the Lord. So, the bride of Christ. We are Jesus's love. We are the love of his life. And he has been wooing us all our lives so that we will love him back. And he's relentless in his love. Now, so guys, I think it's harder for guys to get bride a little bit, you know? So for us guys, what does bride mean to you? Woohoo. Like, you're a bride. You're the bride of Christ. What does it mean for you guys? We're chosen. We're pursued. What guy does not want to be chosen? What guy does not want to be pursued? Right? We want that too. And he does that. And he wants intimacy with us just like he does with the ladies. So now, is that collective? We're the bride of Christ. Is that collective or individual? No. Is it collective or individual? Yes, right? The answer is yes. Yes, it's both, right? It's both. And that's why we have this picture. That's why the picture is of a puzzle. I want you to imagine that this isn't a puzzle, but it's a work of art. You know, Michelangelo or somebody like that, okay? A famous artist is creating this work of art, but it's a jigsaw puzzle, okay? And you represent one piece of it. So are you a work of art, then, if you're just one piece? Yes, but incomplete. Okay? That's what 1 Corinthians 12 tells us. We are the body of Christ as well. We are the body of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12, right here, tells us that each part, right? God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Okay? So, it's a work of art, but if you're just one piece, are you still a work of art? Yes. You're part. You're an incomplete part of a work of art. Why is that important to understand? Because you are very precious and special and necessary and needed to make the work of art beautiful. And the work of art looks like this without you. Really. It's meant to. Everybody's in, right? Your value and your importance are critical, but you are purposefully incomplete without the rest of the body. So, all those rules and laws and things that Jesus said, like love one another, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another, all the ways the church is meant to be united and loving each other, it's because we are a beautiful painting that only is complete when everybody's in. Everybody's plugged in. Make sense? And so, for some of, you know, I guess a question I have is, you know, does this describe you? You know what I'm asking? Are you present in the body? Because attending church once a week is not present in the body. Because the body's an organism. Body of Christ is an organism that cares. We're going to look more at that. Let's look at the next one. Oh, we really should skip this and go back to it, but we're going to come back to the body of Christ. So, we are the invasion force also. See the list? We're the chosen ones, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and we're the invasion force. Notice this. And I tell you, Matthew 16, familiar passage, right? That you are Peter. What does Peter mean? Cephas means rock. And on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Or in the Greek, the overcome is katasphusio, means won't be able to stand up to it. Okay? So what's this up here? Trebuchet, catapult, right? Siege, onager, maybe. What are the gates of Hades won't be able to withstand the church? Why does Jesus, when he's talking about the inception of the church and it's starting up under Peter's beginning of leadership, why does he wed that thought with hell? Okay, what does it tell us about our mission and our situation? We're at war. And what is our role in that? What is our role in that verse, huh? Offensive. Yeah, first hour, somebody was like, well, so the gates of hell, we're supposed to like be able to withstand the gates of hell coming after us. Right? Are gates an offensive weapon? Right. Who's attacking who? Right? This is us. Right? It's interesting, this last week, Wednesday night, we were having our Bible story time at home, And we read Mark chapter 1 where Jesus was baptized by, you know, in the Jordan by John. He comes out of the water and the heavens open up and the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And it says immediately the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And Lucy says, "Well, that's nice." Tells him, like, I just love it. It was right on the money. She's like, he tells him, this is my Son who I'm so well pleased. And then he sends him to be attacked by Satan. How's that work? And she's asking the right question. That is the right question. Why does he send him out to face Satan? Right? Because back in the garden, we were given authority over Satan. Satan was present. I've given you authority over all this place. And we caved. The first Adam caved when the attack came. So Jesus, according to Paul, is the new Adam. He's the second Adam. Okay? So he comes, gets the blessing from his Father, and then his Father's like, go get him. And he's not in a garden. He's in the wilderness. He's not well fed. He's starving to death. Right? And Satan comes and attacks him. And Jesus defeats him. The new Adam. He is our template. He is our brother. He is the picture of what it means to walk in full rights as sons. Okay? And he destroyed the works of the devil every time he saw him. Whether it was demonic oppression, sickness, whether it was just what somebody was putting... that what somebody was worshiping, their money, whatever it was, he was like, oh, he was just bringing the kingdom against darkness and how it had infiltrated and dug in. And he was bunker busting, right? That's your job now, right? That's why he said all authority has been given to me on, go, right? So we are the cutting edge. We're the leading edge now of destroying the works of the devil. Let me show you a scene that'll help us realize this is the attitude of a son of the kingdom. Okay, somebody who's walking in full rights as sons. This is what it looks like when they face evil. All right, let's kill the lights. Nice and loud. Not best. If we don't get the words, I'll just commentate. That's fine. Oh, hey, where it happened? Are we able to get it back up? You guys know the words. Not pass. Right, and he has specific identity. He's like, I am the wielder of the. Is it stop there? No, you're good. If we can just roll it without sound. Okay, so he's like, I'm the wielder of the flame of something. So he's been given a unique identity, just like you have a unique identity. If you haven't heard it from the Lord, you have one, And then it's really interesting here. When you first saw this, when Fellowship came out, before Two Towers came out, and you saw what happens, you think Gandalf gives up. You think he's kind of going, I can't hold on anymore, I'm an old man, fly you fools, and then he lets go, right? But really what's going on is he's like, I'm going to go after this thing and destroy it, right? And so he's like free falling in the correct falling position until he sees his sword, right? And it's like, look at that, And as we've watched this here before, but we need to remember who we are, right? I mean, who does this? Right? Who does that? You do. You do. That is what you're called to do. Why shrink back? Right? Is it so that others will feel less insecure around you? Why not give them something to step up to by your example? So we are the invasion force. We're also the training camp. The church is a training camp. We're the ones who train the reinforcements for the invasion force, right? Ephesians 4, it was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There are offices in the church, okay? There are offices and responsibilities, and God has set those offices aside. Why? To prepare God's people. We don't like this part so much. Well, maybe we do. Maybe it's less pressure than a lot of things that we can worry about all the time. We got to do all these things. Works of service. Right? So that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Again, what's full rights of sons? Being like Christ. Fully like Jesus. Walking in his authority. Living like he lived. Bringing it wherever you go. Right? Not shrinking back. You'll see Jesus shrink back except once when he's facing his own death. Right? Angels came and attended him. That's another picture for us. You will face fear. And angels will come and take care of you in that time if you cry out to God. But again, we got these dudes and dudettes, their mission is to prepare you for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. What's the intent of the works of service? What does it mean for the body of Christ to be built up? That we're all, okay, that we're obtaining the fullness that he has for us. As full daughters and sons of Christ. So how does a work of service do that? A basin and a rag and some dirty feet. No, you don't understand. I'm gifted to counsel and to be the lead singer. Yes, you may be are. And that's important. Right? But it's telling us works of service, right? The army moves forward. The army needs to move forward on a full stomach. So, are you serving the body of Christ? Or are you the puzzle piece missing? Where are you serving? Imagine if everybody was. And we were building each other up and serving and loving each other lavishly. The world would take note. The world would notice. The world would notice. We're also the light of the world. Jesus said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's ours, right, to bring the message to the world. By the way, this is a outline for the series that we're in. Today's a kickoff. So this is where we're going. We're also meant to be a community of love. Jesus said, as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on Acts chapter 4, and all the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions of his own, but they all shared everything he had. And I was talking about in that passage, people sold properties and brought it to the apostles, and people were like meeting each other's needs, and they were willing to even sell their stuff to meet each other's needs. And I was asking the question, what if we were crazy loving each other lavishly? What would happen? And that, by the end of that day, I was invited into two fundraising love lavishly opportunities. that were awesome, that loved a couple of people really lavishly. It was really great. But what if that was, I want to beat that drum. What if we were the community that was just loving crazy, buying braces for each other, helping somebody who doesn't have a car to get a car, whatever it is, you know, wouldn't you like to be on that team? So would the rest of the world, right? And that's what happened in Acts. Like 6,000 people were added to their number that day, you know, because they were just, you know, loving lavishly and they were going gangbusters. And then a healing center. Jesus said his mission was to heal the brokenhearted. John says something I think incredibly profound here in 1 John 4. He says, we love because he first loved us. And this is my closing point, but why is that profound? Think about it. We love because he first loved us. What about that is so incredible, that statement? Huh? He taught us how to love. We see it demonstrated. That's absolutely true. What's that? We feel like we don't deserve it. And in some ways, we don't. And then there are other ways we really do because we're in his image. And yeah. What are we motivated by? She said we're not motivated by obligation. So what are we motivated? Okay. That's why I think this is really profound is... I would put it this way, we can only really love if we've experienced his love, if we feel loved by him. It's like a cloud that gets filled up with moisture until it just can't hold it anymore and it pours rain. That's how your soul is meant to be with his love. Absorbing it. That's why Jesus said, you know, you will be like some people who have my spirit. You know, if you drink the water I give you, you're going to become this bubbling fountain. What's the water he gives you? His spirit. But what his spirit does is it brings his love into you. Let me give you an illustration of this. I was 3 weeks ago, me and some of the guys here, we went to Colorado for an advanced boot camp with the Ransom Heart team. Which we're going to be starting tonight, by the way, men, the main boot camp videos. If you've never been or need a refresher, we're starting at 6 o'clock, and the ladies are doing Captivating. Don't miss it. It's going to be it's the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in any church. But we're at the advanced camp. Oh, and by the way, the retreat this spring, men, is going to be the advanced material. So you're going to want to go through this Sunday night series to get ready for advanced. Coming in the spring. All right, rewind. I was at that retreat and I was having a hard time connecting with God and with the guys with me. I noticed it the most in worship. We did worship and I just couldn't like feel my heart connect with the Lord. I just was trying to worship and there just wasn't anything sort of to offer him. You know, I was singing the songs and I was trying to love him and I was sort of, okay, I'm loving you out of obedience. I'm loving you out of discipline. I'm worshiping you. I'm saying these words to you. But I also felt like I didn't fit in really well. I didn't know who I was supposed to be in that retreat and with the group, and I just felt displaced. And day one was like that. And I'm like, it's probably just warfare. And day two was like that, and it was kind of, well, maybe it's just maybe something. Maybe God's mad at me because I did something wrong. And so I kind of, which is not how he works, but I go there. And so I finally invited the Lord into it. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And would you help me? I just don't feel like I can really release. Tank's empty, whatever, you know. And I had this picture of me standing on number 16 and getting hammered and made fun of by different kids on the blacktop, which happened a lot. And I'm like, this is a weird memory, Lord. I remember that. And I'm like, what do you want to do? Would you come into that
scene. And the father walked up, and he picked up this boy, and he put him on his shoulders. And he just walked off. We walked off together. And I was on his shoulders. And after that, that filled me up with his love for me. And so then I had love to offer back to him in worship. And then with the guys, I was able to love them from my heart. You can't, what's the greatest commandment? Love God. And the second greatest? Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do it unless you've been filled with his love for you. So, agenda number one every day has to be receiving his love for you, his lavish love for you. Now, if you're here and you go, I can't get there, okay, that's often because of warfare and wounding, okay, and that Sunday nights is all about that, captivating, wild at heart. But here's the thing. If you make, like I said, take the next decade on this one, the Full Rights as Sons, the beginning of Full Rights as Sons, agenda number one, do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much he loves you? Let it in. Letting it in. Feeding on that will make the cloud saturated and you'll be able to offer something. Okay? So we're gonna stop right now. Nick's going to come, and while he's coming up, Nick's like, after first service, he's like, dude, I wrote a song between services about this. Can I play it? So while he's getting set up, I want to just invite you guys, let's just take some time. Close your eyes, and I just want to, let's just take some time with the Lord before Nick starts, and I want you to picture he walks up to you, and he wants to put you on his shoulders. He wants to wash your feet. He wants to show you what you mean to him. And I just want to invite you to let that in. Just say to him, Lord, show me. I know I need it, Lord. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin you've got going on. He'll wash that away. Lord, how do you feel about me? Just ask him that from your heart. And then give yourself permission right now to let him love you. Release the dam. Open the valve, whatever is blocking. Just, Lord, you have permission to love me. Let's just take a couple minutes with that, and then Nick's going to sing. Thank you.
that was poured out for my sin, for me. You hung upon a tree, you bled and died for me. My life I give to you, my heart in your harmony.
job. Okay, so as Jerry's coming up, thank you guys. That's pretty amazing for between services. thank you, Lord. Jerry's going to come up and lead us in just some announcements and what's coming up.
Minutes, so if you need a chance to prepare that. But first of all, a couple quick things. 2014 is over. We just finished our first full week of 2015, and I was going to prepare something, just kind of a post-2014 tribute to the year, and just kind of looking back at some of the things, and I kind of started to do that, and then I realized, you know what, I can't do it, because anything I put together is not going to do justice to 2014, because Randy was talking about 1 Corinthians 12. It was interesting, the picture there of when we suffer together, and when we rejoice together, and I love that, because I think 2014 was really that for us, and really the underlying theme was we were together with each other, and we were together with God, and He carried us through a lot of high points and a lot of low points, but the cool thing was God was there in that with all of us. And there were meals, and there was prayer, there were speakers and teachers and MOPS people, and you know, everything. And see, I can't even come up with all the things that we've done and all the things that you did to make this family a part of the bride that Randy was talking about, the church that Jesus built. So thank you all. Thank yourselves for that. Give yourselves a hand for that, because it's amazing what all of you did. So the question automatically becomes, what is next? What's next for us? What's next right now is offering, so I don't want to forget that. So let me pray for that, and then the guys can get that started. Jesus, thank you for the picture of your church. Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to show us in the coming weeks. Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to do, what you're going to take us into on mission with you, and what our part in that looks like. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to bless that. Continue to bless our serving, bless our giving, Lord. How you've used it in the last year has been amazing, Lord, and I know that it's just going to continue through 2015. So we want to thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for blessing us so lavishly as Father. And we just pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So the guys will get those started at the front. You can just get them to the back, and they'll pick them up there. So again, what's next? Randy mentioned Adventure University. That is starting tonight. And guys, if you're really interested in finding out what it is that keeps you from the life God designed you to live, and I know that there is probably a good percentage of you out there, myself included, thinking, man, if there was just a more full picture of what that could be for me, what does that really mean to be a son? Romans 8 tells us that Jesus was first among many brothers. Wow, what does that mean for me? You know, Ephesians 1, Galatians 4, we're heirs, we're sons, we're daughters. But there are things that hold us back from that identity. And tonight is going to kick off Adventure University, Captivating and Wild at Heart. We're going to look at that. We're going to dig deeper into that. So guys, we did a boot camp in the fall. This is the weekly format. So even if you attended the fall retreat, I would encourage you to attend this, because every week we're going to go through a session. Then we'll have time to debrief together in small discussion groups. It'll be really cool. We're going to have a great time together. Star is going to come and talk to you ladies about what that's going to look like for you tonight.
Well, ladies, I am going to be there tonight, and I want to invite you to join me and the other women that are going to be there starting the Captivating sessions. And some questions have been asked whether we're working through the book Captivating chapter by chapter. It's not going to be that. It's actually going to be the Captivating retreat that they do in Colorado, broken down into sessions. So you are not going to want to miss it. It's very powerful. So whether you're anywhere from a high school senior up through senior age, all of you are welcome. And I don't know about you, but for me, there has not been a season in my life that my identity has not taken an assault. So I am excited for myself. I've been through Captivating many times, but I'm excited again to go through it because I'm in a different season in my life and just freshly remembering who I am and what I have to offer, that we are chosen, that we are daughters, and that we have something to bring. So, and hopefully you don't have any excuses because it doesn't say up there, but there is childcare provided, 6 to 8, and so dinner's not provided, but so either eat before or after. We'll have some snacks too, but don't tell the guys.
You guys get snacks? What's the deal with that? Maybe I'll come over here and attend Captivating because you got food, so... All right, so thank you, Star, for that. Yeah, guys, it'll be the same thing. We're going through the boot camp sessions, the live boot camp sessions. Don't forget your journals, both ladies and men. Don't forget your journals. You're going to need those. It's important. If you're not in the habit of journaling, I think it would be a great habit to start investing in. Mark Roddy can attest to that. He's the journaling flag bearer in this church here. So thank you, Mark, for that. Interested in discipleship. If this is new, if some of this stuff's new to you, if you're newer to what it is to attend church, you're newer to who is God, and you've got questions about what is the Bible, discipleship, we have a fantastic discipleship program here, and it's a one-on-one walk through a book that answers those questions. So if you'd like more information on that, if you have questions like that, fill out one of the connection cards that should be on your seats. And just put discipleship on that, drop it in the back, in the basket, and somebody will get in touch with you, and we'll get you paired up with somebody to walk through that material. You don't want to miss that opportunity. Move update. Randy mentioned a couple things about that. We have our mountain over here. You guys on the side may not be able to see it, but you notice that our current total is getting close to the top, so we're getting there. We're a little over 52,000 of our 60,000 goal, and I'm coming back without my poetry Falcon here, but you'll get the message. Yeah, we're getting really close on that. We're looking at logistics and how we're going to make this happen. And as Randy was talking about this and the Bride of Christ and serving and all of the puzzle pieces, I was thinking about a few years ago, I was for a couple of years a part of a forestry firefighting team. And it was kind of interesting. The way we set it up was when we went to a fire, we had a team of guys on our crew that each had their individual part to play. So we'd get to a fire, and I remember one in North Bend, there was a really big fire going on. We were the first team there. And the way we set it up was we had the pump guy. He'd get on the pump, and he'd get the thing started up and get that process going. The next guy in line would have 100 feet of hose he'd roll out. He'd get that rolled out. Then the next guy, and we had this choreography set up to where literally by the time the last guy connected the last thing, which was the nozzle at the hose at the fire, within less than 5 seconds, the plan was, we'd have water coming out of the hose because it takes a lot of time to charge that much hose. But it required a team of people operating in this choreography of activity. And when it worked really cool. I mean, it was just incredibly well, and we attack the fire. I mean, that's the terminology you use when you fight a fire, is you attack the fire. So there's so much stuff Randy was talking about today that just kind of, that illustration was going through my mind, because we are attacking something that's trying to consume what's good in this world. And that's the mission God's calling us into. But we have to be choreographed. We have to be a part of a team, and we have to play our part to do that. So think about that and what your part in 2015 is going to be. As we move, as we jump into mission with God, He's calling us all to be a part of that. So we're going to continue to talk about that. I would encourage you to continue praying about your part in that as well, and what God would call you into in that move. So I think that, and my clicker, there we go. I think that's it. Take a look at your bulletin. Yes, thank you. Seahawks next week. Did you guys know the Seahawks are playing next week? Yeah, okay. I figured you probably would. So, next week, you know what time they're playing, right? 12 o'clock. How many? 12:05, okay. So, how many of you are going to be at church next week? Come on, everybody's hand up. All right. So because we know that the Seahawks are beloved by all in Seattle, we are going to have a church/Seahawks day. So what that's going to look like is we're going to have a shorter service than normal. We're going to finish up at 12:01 because Randy's going to make sure his message is no longer than that. And we're going to keep him to that, right? We're going to cut him off. We're going to pull him off. Oh, well, okay then. Well, Seth is going to have to make sure then he cuts it off at 12:01. 12:05, we're going to be finished up. We're going to have a potluck and Seahawks Day here. So if you want to be a part of the family and watch the game here together, bring something to potluck with. Bring your crock pots. Bring whatever it is that you might need to bring. We're going to be more intentional about letting you know during the week what that could be. So watch the website. Watch the weekly mailer. It'll tell you what you can bring based on your last name letter. So Patty's just hearing about this because we just decided this morning. So Patty's going to get it. Patty's going to get it in all of the communications to you. With that, one last thing, and then Randy's last thing. If you're not on the email distribution list, go to the website. You can click on info@adventurecommunitychurch.com, or you can put it on the little connection card. Want to be on the email list, and we'll get you on that. One way or another, we'll have food, which is a good thing. So, all right, have a great Sunday.